Then, like a field of thorns springing up from one root and spreading here and there, there was yet more to trouble Wang Lung. One day his father, whom one would say saw nothing at any time, so drowsy with age he was, woke suddenly out of his sleeping in the sun, and he tottered, leaning on his dragon-headed staff which Wang Lung had bought for him on his 70th birthday, to the doorway where a curtain hung between the main room and the court where Lotus walked. Now the old man had never noticed the door before, nor when the court was built, and seemingly he didn't know whether anyone had been added to the house or not. And Wang Lung never told him, "I have another woman," for the old man was too deaf to make anything out of a voice if it told him something new and of which he hadn't thought. But on this day, he saw without reason this doorway, and he went to it and drew the curtain, and it happened that it was at an hour of evening when Wang Lung walked with Lotus in the court, and they stood beside the pool and looked at the fish, but Wang Lung looked at Lotus. Then when the old man saw his son standing beside a slender painted girl, he cried out in his shrill, cracked voice, "There is a harlot in the house!" And he wouldn't be silent, although Wang Lung, fearing lest Lotus grow angry, for this small creature could shriek and scream and beat her hands together if she were angered at all, went forward and led the old man away into the outer court and soothed him, saying, "Now calm your heart, my father. It's not a harlot, but a second woman in the house." But the old man wouldn't be silent. And whether he heard what was said or not, no one knew. Only he shouted over and over, "There's a harlot here!" And he said suddenly, seeing Wang Lung near him, "And I had one woman, and my father had one woman, and we farmed the land." And again he cried out after a time, "I say it's a harlot!" And so the old man woke from his aged and fitful sleeping with a sort of cunning hatred against Lotus. He would go to the doorway of her court and shout suddenly into the air, "Harlot!" Or he would draw aside the curtain into her court and then spit furiously upon the tiles. And he would hunt small stones and throw them with his feeble arm into the little pool to scare the fish. And in the mean ways of a mischievous child, he expressed his anger. And this, too, made a disturbance in Wang Lung's house, for he was ashamed to rebuke his father, and yet he feared the anger of Lotus, since he had found she had a pretty petulant temper that she loosed easily. And this anxiety to keep his father from angering her was wearisome to him, and it was another thing to make of his love a burden to him. One day, he heard a shriek from the inner courts, and he ran in, for he heard it was the voice of Lotus. And there he found that the two younger children, the boy and the girl born alike, had between them led into the inner court his elder daughter, his poor fool. Now the four other children were constantly curious about this lady who lived in the inner court, but the two elder boys were conscious and shy and knew well enough why she was there and what their father had to do with her, although they never spoke of her unless to each other secretly. But the two younger ones could never be satisfied with their peepings and their exclamations and sniffing of the perfume she wore and dipping their fingers in the bowls of food that Cuckoo carried away from her rooms after she had eaten. Lotus complained many times to Wang Lung that his children were a plague to her, and she wished there were a way to lock them out so that she need not be plagued with them. But this he wasn't willing to do, and he answered her in jest, "Well, and they like to look at a lovely face as much as their father does." And he did nothing except to forbid them to enter her courts, and when he saw them, they didn't. But when he didn't see them, they ran in and out secretly. But the elder daughter knew nothing of anything, but only sat in the sun against the wall of the outer court, smiling and playing with her bit of twisted cloth. On this day, however, The two elder sons being away at school, the two younger children had conceived the notion that the fool must also see the lady in the inner courts, and they had taken her hands and dragged her into the court, and she stood before Lotus, who had never seen her, and sat and stared at her. Now when the fool saw the bright silk of the coat Lotus wore, and the shining jade in her ears, she was moved by some strange joy at the sight, and she put out her hands to grasp the bright colors, and she laughed aloud, a laugh that was only sound and meaningless. And Lotus was frightened, and screamed out, so that Wang Lung came running in, and Lotus shook with her anger, and leaped up and down on her little feet, and shook her finger at the poor laughing girl, and cried out, "I will not stay in this house if that one comes near me. And I wasn't told that I should have accursed idiots to endure, and if I had known it, I would not have come, filthy children of yours." And she pushed the little gaping boy who stood nearest her, clasping his twin sister's hand. Then the good anger awoke in Wang Lung, for he loved his children, and he said roughly, "Now I will not hear my children cursed. No, and not by anyone, and not even my poor fool, and not by you who have no son in your womb for any man." And he gathered the children together and said to them, "Now go out, my son and my daughter, and come no more to this woman's court. For she doesn't love you, and if she does not love you, she does not love your father either." And to the elder girl he said with great gentleness, "And you, my poor fool, come back to your place in the sun." And she smiled, and he took her by the hand and led her away. For he was most angry of all that Lotus dared to curse this child of his and call her idiot. And a load of fresh pain for the girl fell upon his heart, so that for a day and 2 days he wouldn't go near Lotus. But he played with the children, and he went into the town, and he bought a circle of barley candy for his poor fool, and he comforted himself with her baby pleasure in the sweet sticky stuff. And when he went in to Lotus again, neither of them said anything that he hadn't come for 2 days. But she took special trouble to please him. For when he came, his uncle's wife was there drinking tea, and Lotus excused herself and said, "Now here is my lord come for me, and I must be obedient to him, for this is my pleasure." And she stood until the woman went away. Then she went up to Wang Lung and took his hand, and drew it to her face, and she wooed him. But he, although he loved her again, loved her not so wholly as before, and never again so wholly as he had loved her. There came a day when summer was ended, and the sky in the early morning was clear and cold and blue as seawater, and a clean autumn wind blew hard over the land, and Wang Lung woke as from a sleep. He went to the door of his house, and he looked over his fields, and he saw that the waters had receded, and the land lay shining under the dry, cold wind and under the ardent sun. Then a voice cried out in him, a voice deeper than love cried out in him for his land. And he heard it above every other voice in his life. And he tore off the long robe he wore, and he stripped off his velvet shoes and his white stockings, and he rolled his trousers to his knees, and he stood forth robust and eager, and he shouted, "Where is the hoe, and where the plough? And where is the seed for the wheat planting? Come, Ching, my friend, come, call the men. I go out to the land."